Wrestling Powerhouse Radio at blogtalkradio.com. You can interact with the show by calling 760-888-5749 or use the hashtag PWP Radio on Twitter. Here are your hosts, Jay Leno and Will TLD Vapidez.
Oh yeah, we are live once again right here, right now, Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio, episode number 43, and this is going to be a great episode because there is a lot to talk about. I got a full panel of people. I've got Toph, I've got Will, and I've got John. We're going to get right into it in just a moment, but before we do that, I just want to plug a couple things, and one of them is Twitter. Hit me up on Twitter, at TW Powerhouse. I'm 50 followers away from the big 1,000 mark. So thanks to all my followers out there for supporting me on Twitter and chatting with me. I'm always down to talk on Twitter. I follow back. And hey, if you want to talk to me, definitely give me a shout out. And also on Facebook, facebook.com/Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. The likes are going up through the roof. We are only 5 likes away from 2,200. So go over on Facebook and find us and press that like button. And I can't stress the Amazon store enough. We got bills to pay, people. Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio is not free on our end, but we'd like to keep it free on your end. So find the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Amazon store. You can find it on our website at ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. Buy anything you would normally buy on Amazon, whether it's tampons, DVDs, coffee pots, whatever it may be. Buy it on Amazon, and just a little bit of a portion of your purchase goes into my pocket so I could pay for this show. That's exactly what I use that money for. It goes directly into an account that is just for ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com endeavors. So please go to Amazon, the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Amazon store. If you want a direct link to anything, let me know on Twitter, and I will send you a direct link to that Bret Hart DVD you've always wanted or that WCW War Games DVD you just crave. So, that's about it for the cheap plugs. We'll get to some more later. Tonight, we're going to talk about the releases by TNA. They just keep piling up. Just found out that Tara, formerly known as Victoria in WWE, Lisa Marie Veron, has been either released or she's leaving or she's retiring. I guess retirement sounds smart for her. She just opened up a restaurant in Chicago, but she's had a great career, so we'll talk about her leaving TNA Wrestling. And it turns out that our old buddy Festus, a.k.a. Luke Gallows, a.k.a. Doc, has also been released from his TNA contract. He's a key member of Aces and Eights. I don't know if they're going to write him off somehow or I don't know what they're going to do, but he has stated he is no longer under contract to TNA Wrestling. But let's get into that. Money in the Bank, Monday Night Raw last night, and the second half of the show tonight will contain the interview I did with Joey Ryan yesterday afternoon, the sleaziest man in the business. Will have that interview in its entirety, recorded, of course, starting at the 10 o'clock hour. JCB got in at the end, John DeMicelli, and he asked a question or two. And also me and him bullshitted for a little while, candidly, about a couple things in the wrestling business that bother us, mainly dirt sheets and whatnot. But let's get to our panel. Here's the man of the hour, too sweet to be sour. No, it's not. Superstar Billy Graham, it's our resident TNA fan, diehard fan. It's Toph. What's going on, Toph?
I just finished watching WCW World War III on WWE Classics. I was very pleasantly surprised by the Benoit editing. Good show, though. Good show. That was like one of my first shows.
What do you mean by pleasantly surprised?
Basically, they didn't edit out anything. I mean, you remember, like, before the World War III Battle Royal started, everybody would come out. I always remembered when Benoit came out, he had the black eye because he had the brawl with Sullivan, like, a few weeks prior. I thought they were going to edit out. They didn't edit anything out. They showed Benoit, they showed Sullivan, they showed Woman, but they did edit out his name, though. Like, basically, they just kept saying the Four Horsemen and the Dungeon of Doom kept brawling, and they edited that out. I mean, they didn't say his name. But, like, you still saw him, though. And this was very, very recent. It was uploaded, like, at the end of May.
Well, yeah, they've been doing that recently on certain Chris Benoit things. Like, I know the WWE Elimination Chamber, Satan's Prison, it's called, DVD. They have the Elimination Chamber match with Benoit in it. And he's in it to the full extent. Every spot is shown. they just really do not say his name at all. Not even the announcer says his name.
Yeah, it seems like that's the direction they're going in.
Yeah, and that's fine in my opinion. There's nothing wrong with that. So let's continue with the panel. I'm going to bring in the currently retired professional wrestler. Sadly, I did not get to go to his show, the B4W show that I really wanted to go to, because I was in a stupid, dumbass car accident on Saturday. That was really ridiculous, but I know you guys don't really want to hear about all that crap. I'll be dealing with it on my end for probably a couple months, but I'm fine. Nothing happened to me. I can't say the same about the other car, though, but here he is. He's TLD, if I can find the button.
It's
there.
It's TLD.
Yeah.
Four-time tag team champion. I'm curvy. I'm cute. I'm a champion.
TLD, what's going on, man?
Not much, man. I am sore as hell, and I don't know if you saw my picture on my Facebook page, but if you take a look at my arm, you can see how in pretty bad shape I am, but a little sore, but I was very, 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 very happy.
Very happy with your retirement match, man. How does it feel to be retired from the professional wrestling industry?
Dude, it sucks, you know, that I closed. I got a little emotional in the ring. You know, eventually we're going to have that video available to sell, I'm sure, in the near future. But it was a pretty emotional night for myself. My whole family was there. My friends were there. My girlfriend was there taking amazing photos. And it was a long night for me. Not only did I do the professional wrestling part, but also the videos that I did for the company. And did some amazing videos and got some great compliments. And it was just a wonderful night, a wonderful time. We had the most people we ever had for any of our live shows, so that's always a good thing. We had a really cool sign contest, and overall, just a fun night. It was probably my best wrestling match, and I'd never been a face in front of a live crowd. That was my first time, and I couldn't believe the reaction I was getting. So it was a pretty awesome night for myself.
Man, that's awesome. Congratulations on finishing up your career, and you know how what they say about wrestling careers. You're never truly retired, and you're going to keep giving your insight and knowledge to Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. So you'll be involved still.
Of course. And then, of course, we had Money in the Bank that we both went to last night. So even though my in-ring style is probably going to be done, it doesn't mean that we cannot still talk about some awesome pro wrestling like we did this weekend.
Damn right. And let me bring in the final panelist. He's a regular here on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. And his name is JCD John Demicello. You can find him on Twitter at JCD1219NY. What's up, John?
Hey, guys, sorry. I was just reading a text. Apparently, I've been released from TNA in a cost-cutting measure. Jesus Christ, what the hell's going on over there?
You're my inside source to everything that was happening over there, man. You know, you're my scoop guy, my dirt sheet guy. But,
hey,
topic
of, like,
the
dirt
sheet.
Have you guys heard about Roman Reigns? What's up with that, man?
I haven't. Go ahead. Tell us about Roman Reigns. What happened with him?
Oh, the word is he's got backstage heat with Randy Orton. Apparently, this is coming from a reliable source. It's legit, and he has backstage heat. So we'll have to see.
We'll have to see what happens. You know what happens when somebody has backstage heat with Randy Orton? It doesn't really end out well, but
Kennedy!
There you go. And we know where his career went, right down the toilet. But let's start out with talking about TNA, speaking of the toilet. It looks like the career of Tara, a.k.a. Victoria, a.k.a. Lisa Marie Veron, which is her real name, has come to an end. Tara has left TNA Wrestling, and she has sure left her mark on the professional wrestling business. One of the top female performers when it comes to just consistency over the years. She has been fantastic in every way, shape, or form. I'm going to start off with Tope. I know you're a big fan of Tara. You've put her over on the show many times in the past. And just talking to you, I know that you're a fan of her. So what are your thoughts on her finishing up her career?
I've met her many times. She's very nice, very approachable. She's basically the Rey Mysterio of female wrestlers in terms of her knees. Her knees are just shot. She can't. She's had to tone down her style so much just because of her knees. You know, I've always had a lot of respect for Tara. She doesn't mind putting over new talent and stuff. She always finds ways to reinvent herself. She even lowered herself to put that Jesse guy over, and he was green as you know what. So, but I remember listening to a shoot earlier this year in February, and she basically said that she has about maybe a year or two left in her. And like you said earlier, she just opened the restaurant in Chicago. I think this is the end. I don't think this is, oh, I'm going to leave TNA and go back to WWE, or I'm leaving TNA to go to Shimmer. I think this is just the end. I think some people are like Stone Cold Steve Austin. Some people don't always need a big send-off. Some people just quietly leave. You know, I know that's strange, but some people are like that. I think this is the end for Tara.
Well, you know, I'm going to disagree. I think she's got right now, in the short term anyway, probably not long term, but short term, she can make a lot of money going around the independents, wrestling for those women organizations, like you mentioned, Shimmer, Shine. There's Bombshells, Ladies of Wrestling out here in Jersey. And she can make some quick bucks having a couple matches with the indie girls out there. And I'm sure she can still do it because we saw her compete not long ago. And even though her knees are shot, she can go out there and have a couple indie matches and hit up the conventions and kind of make some money that way. There's no doubt in my mind that she can do that. And she probably will. I wouldn't doubt it. And I wouldn't knock her for it. I think it's the way to go. And we'll see, but, you know, she's had a great career. I think a return to WWE is out of the question. As much as I like Tara, and I always have, I think she's a great competitor, and she's really just a beautiful woman from top to bottom, just in great, fantastic shape for her age. WWE, really doesn't have anything to do with a woman. That's her age and kind of at the end of their career. I wouldn't be surprised if she comes back for maybe a one-off appearance here or there. Maybe she becomes a trainer at the New Performance Center. That could possibly happen. It's highly unlikely, but it sounds like that could be a something good for her. TLD, what are your thoughts on the release of Tara from TNA?
You know, I like Tara a lot. I thought that her best work was really in WWE, not really so much TNA. You know, she did some cool things in there, but nothing really, to me, memorable, in TNA. I thought even the Jesse thing, I thought that was actually... That was actually kind of something different she was doing instead of, like, the strange, weird characters that she's always been kind of doing. So I kind of liked her doing that one just for something a little different for her to do. But she left her mark on the industry. She was really great as a professional wrestler. She really came in on a good time when Trish was, like, the top person. They needed a heel that worked perfectly, and they had a great storyline, a great gimmick for her. You know, she's doing great. It seems like she's doing pretty good with the entire restaurant thing, so hopefully she sticks with that. And yeah, I mean, I could see her doing a performance thing, or perhaps that if the business side don't work out too well with the restaurant, why not just have her come back to a one-off in WWE and have her do the performance thing? I think that'd be a great thing for her.
Yeah, no question about it. I think that there's a lot of things she could do. I guarantee we'll see her on the independent scene signing autographs, because I know for a fact if I see her at, like, a pro wrestling syndicate show or something like that, I'll dish out the $15-$20 to get her to sign my WWE encyclopedia and get a picture with her. No question about it. She's definitely awesome in that retrospect. So, yeah, I think she'll make some good money out there if she wants to. JCD, your thoughts on Tara getting released? And then go right into Luke Gallows, a.k.a. Doc, who's also been released, and we'll talk about him next.
Yeah, I mean, not to radio copy what Toph, Will, and you said, really surprised about it, especially even though she hasn't been on TV much, they've had her in that stupid storyline with Jesse Gutierrez, and I agree with the other guys. You know what, maybe she can't go full-time anymore, but she'd be a great mind to have down at that NXT Center. You put her with Serena Deeb down there, you know, nothing bad can come of that.
Is Serena Deeb down there? Is she a trainer down there?
Yeah.
She is. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't even know that. That's awesome.
Yeah. She's the one that's responsible for, like, Paige and Emma and even Summer Rae, like, them coming along the way they have and being as good as they are. That's all her.
Isn't Sarah Del Rey down there, too?
That's who it is. Sarah Del Rey, not Serena Deeb. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's Sarah Del Rey that's down there.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Because I know Serena, she got released from WWE, and I heard it was not on the best of terms because she kind of ruined the entire straight edge society thing.
Straight edge gimmick. Yeah, just, she was out in bars in public.
Exactly. Yeah, you can't do that. That's another thing we'll talk about another day. But how about, John, I'll keep with you, man. It turns out that Doc has been released, Ace and Ace member, and he's been pretty much the focal point of a little side storyline that's been going on in Impact recently with the possible, you know, could he be the vice president? He's been kind of the guy that's been speaking out against Bully Ray in the club. What do you think about him getting released from the contract?
Yeah, that was a little surprising. I mean, if you were going to let him go, I could have, you know, do something Thursday night to write him out, and then on Friday announce that he's gone. You know, I was a little surprised by that one, especially since, you know, he's part of the Aces and Eights storyline. But you know what? It shows that, I guess, if you're not a certain handful of guys, I guess no one's safe right now. And everything you keep hearing, you don't hear it's because of an incident. You don't hear it's because that they've got nothing for them to do. It's the same thing. It's cost-cutting, which is... This is how much further does this go? This gets to a point where this now is a problem. You know, going on the road ended up.
I don't think it's a problem. I think they have so many people on that roster that they don't use. Why the hell would you keep them? I mean, they just don't use a lot of people, and you know they don't use a lot of people.
Yeah, but they're using Doc though. Well, like, it's
but
not
it
like
costs
they...
a lot more money to keep him. That's the problem. It's a cost-cutting measure. It's,
yeah, but you know
you
what?
Know,
I mean, you could say that about anybody on TV right now.
Man.
I get that. Don't get me wrong. But the business 101 side of it is, what's your biggest expense now? It's going out on the road every week. Not that I'm saying they should have stayed in Orlando, but if they were still in Orlando, would these about 10 or so guys that have gotten released in the last week and a half, I guarantee you they wouldn't have gotten released. So that's what I mean by at what point does it become a problem where you're losing money on the road, now it's costing you talent. The next time you let a contract lapse, okay, like they did with Bobby Roode, like they've done numerous times, what's to say you're not going to get that guy to turn around and say, okay, yeah, I'll come back? Or what's to say they're not going to want to pick up the contract that was lapsed for a month? And now you lose someone bigger. That's when it's going to be a problem.
Yeah, well, to me, I think you just said the point right there is that he's a focal point of that storyline, and that's where it becomes like maybe an issue where you're thinking, okay, if they're going to release somebody, and you mentioned Will, which made a good point, they have a lot of people on that roster, and that's why they're releasing some of these people. It's a cost-cutting measure, and we realize that it's cost-cutting, but... if you're going to release somebody who is in the middle of a storyline, that's where you're kind of, you know, maybe a red flag or a signal that you see going up there. So, what are your thoughts on the release of Doc from his TNA contract?
I'm not really too sure. I didn't really hate him. I didn't really like him. He definitely seemed to be one of the more prevalent members of the Aces and Eights. I would definitely choose him over, say, Wes Briscoe or Garrett Bischoff. But he knows CM Punk. He's a good friend of CM Punk, and CM Punk has proven that when his friends are in trouble, he's always there to help him out. So I'm sure he'll be fine. I'm sure he'll get some work in New Japan Pro Wrestling or some of the other indie federations out there. But, I don't think it's a good move to release someone right when they were kind of in the middle of a little sub-story, because it looked like they were doing a little story with Anderson and Doc on who's going to be, you know, the VP of the Aces and Eights. So, you know, I think that's a little odd there.
Yeah, it seems like he could have had some kind of angle. He could have been the guy that breaks away from Aces and Eights, and he could have maybe gained some steam as a babyface. Who knows? Like, defected from Aces and Eights to TNA, something that hasn't really happened as of yet. So, it's kind of, to me, it's kind of a little weird. And where does it end? That's my question. When do you stop releasing guys? I know somebody on Twitter, I can't remember who it was, but somebody just said, you know, all you have to do is release Hulk Hogan, and you free up all the space in the world for your contract. But, you know, he's the greatest of all time. You can't just give him his walking paper and say, here you go, Hulk, you're done. It just doesn't work that way when you're talking about one of the all-time greats in the business. So we'll see what happens come Impact this Thursday. I'll definitely be tuning in, seeing what they have in store. I believe it's a live episode, right, Toph?
Yes.
Okay, so Impact will be actually live this week, or on an hour delay, whatever it may be. And, we'll see what happens on the TNA front. But a lot has happened in WWE in the past two nights, and Money in the Bank, we won't talk about it too much because everybody knows what has happened at this point, but I was there live, as was TLD, and it was a hell of a show from top to bottom. I mean, when your pre-show match is one of the best matches on the card, that's pretty damn awesome. I mean, you know, that was the match that should have been the default pre-show match, I get it, but they put on a hell of a match. The Usos proved that they deserve to be involved in that tag team title picture. The Shield was great. Just, I love the card top to bottom. A lot of people are knocking Ryback, Jericho. Yeah, you know, you have an angle that's really not hot. They kind of threw it together. Really didn't make a lot of sense. But the match, honestly, if you're just watching the match with an open mind, it really wasn't that bad. It was one of Ryback's better matches so far. And what can we say about Chris Jericho? Chris Jericho is always consistent. He's always great out there. As we saw in Raw, his match against Rob Van Dam. But Money in the Bank was definitely exciting. It was great to be in Philly. The atmosphere was crazy. I got together with a couple friends before the show started over at the Xfinity Live Center, which I can't help but put over. That place is awesome. It's a great place to watch sports games. It's got kind of like a stadium vibe to it, gigantic screen, multiple bars. You can get a drink, waitresses walking around. There's different eateries inside it. Really cool place. They walked Bob Backlund through at one point. Place went crazy. Hung out with, like, Frank Manzo from the Russell Reaction Show, old Oh You Didn't Know host, and a good buddy of mine, Seth Guttenplan, was there as well. This dude that everybody makes a big deal out of, who I don't really get it, and John and I will talk about it, recorded version of it later on after the interview with Joey Ryan. Justin Labar, he was there. I don't really get what the big deal is about that guy, but yeah, he was there taking pictures of people and stuff. But it was cool, man. It was a good time. We had fun, and the show was great. So you know what really shocked me, though, was the amount of Wyatt Family Lamb masks that were in that building. I could not believe it. They weren't selling them at the concessions. People went out and bought these things with their own money. I have no doubt about it. These Lamb masks were everywhere. That shows you how the Wyatt Family is over without even having a match yet on WWE television, not counting NXT, of course. But we'll go around the panel and we'll give our thoughts on Money in the Bank before we talk about Raw and the build to SummerSlam, which, let me tell you what, if you want to talk about a hot build to kick it off, Raw last night was. So, Toph, what are your thoughts about Money in the Bank pay-per-view last Sunday night?
To add about the Roman Reigns story, you just mentioned it was the pre-show, to go into more detail about it, basically the story is, there was some type of live event or a house show of some kind that involved the Shield and some type of tag team match against Randy Orton. And Randy Orton, at some point in the match, he improvised and did some type of, you know, the spot he does where it's like he does like the inverted backbreaker sort of. He did it like in a different way. And when he did the move, he didn't protect whoever he was using it on. It was someone from the Shield. He used the move, and he didn't protect his opponent. It's like when he did the T-bone suplex against Daniel Bryan a few weeks ago on Raw, and if you notice, Bryan like almost landed on his head. He didn't do it very well. And when the match is over, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, they confronted Randy Orton in the back, and they basically criticized him in front of the entire locker room and said that he was careless in the ring, that he should do better. And apparently this gave them backstage heat. And this is why the tag team match became a pre-show match, because the original plan was for Miz and Curtis Axel to be a pre-show match. And so this is the report. It came from a very reliable friend of mine that travels to many house shows. So I believe him. I don't think this is a lie. But getting back to your question, though, I thought the pay-per-view was just fine. Nothing really bad to say. The only bad thing I can say was that Jericho-Ryback match. When you have a monster beating Jericho for roll-up, I mean, no, that wasn't good at all. Everything else was fine, though.
The finish was weak. We were all kind of surprised about it. But if you're trying to turn him into, like, because they've been leaning towards him being more of a bitch lately, which I don't understand. It's so ass-backwards what they're doing with Ryback that I was, you guys remember, I've been talking about it for months. I was a huge Ryback fan, and I still am to a degree. I don't think the ship has sailed on him at all. But they're turning him into a glorified bitch right now, like beating Jericho with a freaking schoolboy. It didn't make a lot of sense to me, but I'm happy he got the win. TLD, a little live perspective. You were at the show, as well as, like I said, Seth, Bill Shannon, Crazy Bill, who's a writer for the site and is also the star of the Tilted Straits web series. He was there too. And there was a lot of people there, and it was a great time. I had fun. What were your thoughts about Money in the Bank?
I thought Money in the Bank was a lot of fun. I think that a live perspective is going to be different from someone watching it, but that's always the case with any pay-per-view you go to or any live event. I really enjoyed the entire show, top to bottom. I had a good time. You know, I was actually right next to one of the cameramen who on the top level, so that was actually kind of interesting to see how they moved back and forth. I was right above where Big Show and Kofi and all them were doing their spots. That was kind of cool. So I thought that's one of the pay-per-views that's so unpredictable because Money in the Bank could easily go so many different ways, and that's what I like about this pay-per-view. That's why it's like one of the top four pay-per-views that WWE has because it's so unpredictable that it's very hard. If you're trying to predict the show, you're probably going to be wrong most of the time. It's probably pretty hard to predict every match the way it went. I think we got some good surprises, and I think every match had a purpose. I think the psychology of every match. I mean, the tag match was hot. I mean, I couldn't believe how good that match was. It was just so good. You know, the tag team match, and, you know, Sandow winning with Cody Rhodes getting really over in the crowd. You know, I wish the Wyatt family came out. That was the only disappointment, I would say, of the night was there was no Wyatt family, even though there was a promo. I would like to see him in the arena. But other than that, I thought the show was very good, but CM Punk literally getting busted open in the head, that was kind of a surprise. I didn't see that coming, and I like how they use the towel gimmick now where they're trying to clean their heads off. It makes it a little more serious, so I kind of like them doing that now. But overall, I would give the show, I would say it's one of the best shows of the year so far. I think it beats Payback, at least for me.
Oh, yeah, it beats the holy hell out of Payback. Speaking of blood, yeah, Rob Van Dam got busted open, too, and I was on the floor. And they didn't really show it on the Titantron. I don't think they did. I don't know if they showed it on TV, but I was on the floor watching the show.
I didn't even know it was busted open until I read the reviews afterwards.
Yeah, I was watching, and he, like, crawled onto the guardrail, and I could see his head, and it was just covered in blood, man. It looked really nasty from my perspective. And, he was busted open, too. There was a lot of blood on the night. I think somebody else got busted open throughout the night at some point as well. It was, there was a lot of blood and stuff like that. And I also like when they kind of tend to the cuts. It makes it seem like it's more real and stuff. I don't think blood should be all over the place nowadays in wrestling. But let's kick it over to JCD. John, did you catch Money in the Bank?
Yeah, I did. And, wow. Yeah, definitely one of the better shows of the year. You know, I mean, pretty easy to call what was going to happen. I guess the only major surprise was Sandow. But, yeah, I thought it was a great show.
Yeah, man. Sandow.
I just
agree
with people saying the Sandow thing was a surprise. I actually saw that coming.
You saw that coming?
Yeah, it was there the entire time throughout the entire build-up. They kept referring to themselves as best friends. Maybe it's because...
Yes.
Maybe it's because ever since Christian came back, I promised that I would watch the secondary shows, and I was watching SmackDown and Main Event, and there was a very good Main Event match between Sandow and Christian, and Cody was on commentary, and the entire time he kept pushing how great and how close friends they were, and it just didn't seem right. It was like, why do they keep mentioning that they're friends? It almost seems as if, like, they're trying to shove it down your throat that they are friends. So when the turn happens, you'll be like, oh, you know?
Yeah, you know, it was something that I really didn't see. I saw it more of like Wade Barrett was kind of, you know, been such an afterthought in the whole entire title picture in general. He hasn't really competed for a championship in a long time, except for the IC title. But, Wade Barrett was kind of just, he's been under the radar for a long time, and I thought he was poised to win it, and I was pretty surprised when he didn't, to be honest with you. But it was a great show from top to bottom. I enjoyed it. I thought they did a damn good job, and I'm glad I sprung for the seats because I almost didn't do it. I literally bought the seats on Saturday and attended on Sunday, so happy I was there. But the real build was last night in Brooklyn at the Barclays Center, the first live Raw there, and we saw the build for SummerSlam get into full effect, and let's kick it off with the big announcement of the night, and that was John Cena at the end of the night. He had a chance to choose who he was going to face, and I was putting all kinds of guys on Twitter. I thought it was going to be Curt Hawkins. I thought it would be Hornswoggle, Santino Marella, Keith Slater, maybe a little Drew McIntyre, something along those lines. But he gave the fans what they wanted, and we're going to see, finally, Daniel Bryan get his shot, the biggest match of his life. Daniel Bryan against John Cena for the WWE Championship at SummerSlam. It's not a surprise to most of us. A lot of us saw it coming, but you just never know with the way WWE books these things from time to time. So I went with my prediction for Money in the Bank that Daniel Bryan wasn't going to win. I knew he wasn't going to win that briefcase because he doesn't need it. They have to give it to a guy that needs it. And Orton right now needs it because he's been so flat and under the radar for so long. So Daniel Bryan versus John Cena. Toph, man, what are your thoughts? Bryan versus Cena, SummerSlam.
I hate how they built that up. That was just really lazy. Other than that, though, I think Bryan wins and then Orton cashes in on him. Man, that's pretty much it.
Okay, so you're predicting that Orton cash in. I think it's possible. The only reason I don't think it's going to happen is because there was a cash in at SummerSlam like 2 years ago with Alberto Del Rio cashing in on CM Punk. That's the only reason I don't think that necessarily is going to happen. I think if Daniel Bryan wins that WWE Championship at SummerSlam, which I'm going to say right now, I don't think he does. I think John Cena wins. I still think they kind of string it along a little bit longer for Daniel Bryan to get his big win at WrestleMania. But, hey, I'll be very happy if he does win because he's my favorite wrestler, and I really hope he does. TLD, your thoughts on, finally, John Cena versus Daniel Bryan for the WWE Championship?
Well, I think we all knew that was going to happen, and it's been kind of like going around the dirt sheets that was all going to happen anyway. You know, just because Daniel Bryan didn't win the match, after I heard about the popularity thing, you knew right away that Daniel Bryan was going to be the guy to go forward, which I kind of like because a lot of times we're always given these matches. We're kind of forced into it, like kind of like how Mark Henry kind of forced John Cena into the match. They let the champion choose, but I think going further, there's more of a storyline that's going to be developing because, to me, when backstage when Brad Maddox met up with Stephanie McMahon,
yes,
and met up, that's the story I think that's going to come out of it because obviously Vince McMahon is going to play the heel on Daniel Bryan, thinking that this guy is not going to be is not the right guy to pick, and it's going to make Bryan look even better. I think that's the story that is going to going forward is going to be pretty interesting dynamic that's going to lead. You know, I don't know where it's going to go. So we'll have to see what happens, but that's the part that I'm looking forward to, with how Vince McMahon's going to react to it.
You know what I'm looking forward to? I'm looking forward to the involvement of the Bella Twins, because that is heavily, heavily rumored to take place. And I didn't even know it was a rumor until I said it to my buddy last night. I was like, you know what? If they're going to book this, I guarantee you they kind of work the Bella Twins into it to not only try to promote that dumbass Total Divas show that they're having on E!, but also to add a little bit of realism to it. And it wouldn't surprise me in the least if they did just that. But then my buddy said, oh, yeah, they reported that on some bullshit website today. And I was completely shocked because I don't read those sites, so I didn't know. But JCD, man, your thoughts on this whole thing, Daniel Bryan versus John Cena.
I think the way they handled it last night was fine with the announcement. That was fine. And, you know, I'm so happy Will said what I picked up on. And that's I want to see, more so than the Bella Twins' involvement, I want to see maybe next week when Vince is back on Raw and, you know, he's like, what are you doing? Because they played that up weeks ago, that Vince doesn't think Daniel Bryan's a real WWE superstar. You know, Vince is going to be so against this. And I really think you're going to see some McMahon involvement in this match somehow. It might be Vince trying to screw Bryan, kind of like they did with Punk 2 years ago at Money in the Bank. You know, you could see that. I wouldn't be surprised, especially after last night, if Orton challenges Del Rio for the title, for the World Heavyweight title, because now obviously Del Rio does not have a dance partner for SummerSlam yet. And then they also tease the specter that, what if Orton beats Del Rio and then decides to cash in after the WWE title match and he'll have both belts? I'm just going with that. I haven't seen that anything. It's just something that hit me after watching Raw last night, you know, that maybe they'll go that route to build some, you know, to build it around the Orton a little.
It would be different. It would definitely be different. And if anybody's listening right now who is a diehard member of the IWC, they just gave a collective gasp at that comment because none of those people want to see that happen. But that's another thing, man. Randy Orton, he seems to be a wild card in this whole thing. He won Money in the Bank. It was a surprise to a lot of people. I was personally picking Rob Van Dam to win because I thought, you know, what better way to bring this guy back to the company? And it was also one of those picks where, like, you got nothing to lose because he's just coming back and he hasn't really wrestled in a while, stuff like that. He almost did win, man. He was the last guy taken out. But Randy Orton won Money in the Bank, so we'll talk about this a little bit. And we'll start it with TLD this time. Randy Orton winning Money in the Bank briefcase and him straight up telling Cena to his face, "You won't see it coming." That's something different. It's a different angle you're kind of taking on this briefcase here where he's straight up telling him, "Hey, you better be on your toes because you're not going to see it coming." What are your thoughts on Randy Orton being Mr. Money in the Bank?
Yeah, he needed something, man. If the writing's kind of on the wall, but we don't see it. You know, we knew CM Punk wasn't going to win that match because of obviously Heyman's involvement. And we knew that there was going to be some, you know, Daniel Bryan could have been the guy. He could have cashed in at SummerSlam. But Randy Orton obviously was not the popular choice. It was clear with the reaction from the fans at the arena. They were really pissed that Orton won. I'm like, you know, this is a guy that you've been pushing to go heel. But look, this is the perfect chance to turn heel. If any way you could turn a face or a heel right away like that, it's the Money in the Bank or any kind of contract that gives you a guaranteed shot because you can cash in on a heel or face, and it doesn't matter what you are, you would turn instantly. We actually did that at the B4W show. We had a heel turning his contract on a heel, and it became a face at the end of the show. We did exactly something like that. So, why not? This is the right opportunity for Randy Orton to turn heel. You know he's going to turn on a heel because right now it's Daniel Bryan or it's John Cena right now. So, if he does it on Daniel Bryan, it works perfectly into the storyline of what's been happening with Daniel Bryan and Orton anyway. So, I think that Daniel Bryan should win the match, beat him, and then Orton just does exactly that. He screws Bryan. VI Vince McMahon doing it. I see that it perfectly writing on the wall, which I could see at SummerSlam, and I wouldn't be surprised if it happened.
Yeah, that's great. I like the prediction. Not a bad prediction at all.
Thank
you. Like it. I don't think, you know, Toast said the same thing. I don't think it's necessarily going to happen, but I like it though. I think it's cool. It's a different way to go.
Thank you.
Toast, you kind of mentioned what you thought the direction's going to be with the briefcase. I don't see him holding on to it for that long. He doesn't really seem like, you know, Mr. Money in the Bank, walk around with a briefcase all the time. Like, Sandow does. I think Sandow will hold on to this thing for quite a while. Maybe not a year, maybe not close to a year like Ziggler did, but I think he'll have it for a while. But what do you think of Randy Orton winning? Do you think it was the right move to do, or do you think somebody else should have won?
Sure, I knew Orton was going to win. He was my prediction to win. I wasn't surprised, and he's not going to be holding on to that briefcase very long at all. It'll be gone by September. If he doesn't cash in at SummerSlam, it'll be at Night of Champions. But by September, it's going to be gone, and I already know what's going to happen. Daniel Bryan is going to beat John Cena for the WWE Championship, and then Orton is going to cash in on him. Whether or not McMahon tells Orton to cash in on him or whether or not Orton decides to do it himself, it doesn't matter. Orton is going to do it. Here's the thing, though. If Orton cashes in and defeats Bryan, you know, that's not going to really solidify a heel turn. If they really want to give Orton heel reactions, they need to have him do something drastic, something different. So if they really want to get him over as a heel, what he should do is after Bryan beats Cena in whatever match they have Orton cash in, have Orton do his usual five moves of doom, and have him hit the RKO. 1-2, Bryan kicks out. Orton has a look of frustration, similar to what CM Punk had when he cashed in the second time on Jeff Hardy. Orton looks confused, doesn't know what to do. He continues hitting Bryan with every move he has. Bryan keeps kicking out. Then finally, Orton decides the only thing he can do to put Bryan away is punt him in the head. That punt kick that he doesn't use anymore. Have him punt him in the head. And as he's doing it, you know, Orton should look confused, like he doesn't want to do it, but he has no choice because he's trying to win the belt. Then he punts Bryan, 1-2-3, new champion Orton. If he does that, then, and only then, will the fans boo him. And I mean everyone boos him. Because if he just beats Brian regularly, like an RKO, or if he beats Cena regularly, he'll just be a tweener. It'll be no different. It'll just be kids and girls cheering him, grown men booing him. If he punts Brian in the head, everyone will boo him. So that's the direction we need to go, and I think that's what we're going to see.
Yeah, it almost reminds me of when CM Punk cashed in on Jeff Hardy a little bit.
Exactly.
CM Punk,
you know,
he was a big baby face, but you didn't really get the fact that he was turning heel until he got on the mic and cut that promo, where he can do that. He can cut the promo, get on the mic, and then he attacked Jeff Hardy shortly thereafter, and then his heel turn was solidified. But with Randy Orton, I don't think a promo is going to really cut it. I think he needs to do something a little more drastic. He needs to show it in his actions more than CM Punk did many, many years ago. Actually, it wasn't that long ago, but it seems like it was that long ago. JCD, your thoughts on, your thoughts, JCD, on Randy Orton walking out with the coveted WWE contract?
I picked Bryan. I won't lie, but I understand why they went with Orton. It was kind of a process of elimination. You know, when you looked at all those guys, who was tied up in what, they weren't going to do it with this one. So I get it, even though, like I said, I picked Brian. If I could merge Will's idea with Toph's idea, have Vince be the guy that sends Orton out, and then just have Orton win it the way Toph just perfectly described it, and then that would be, that would do it. That would do it right then and there. And you could even save the Vince part of it for, like, Raw the night after. You know, you want to know why I picked that spot? I'll tell you why. And you have Vince come out. But, yeah, that would be awesome. Both Will and Toph nailed it on the head.
What would be so great about the Vince thing is sometimes every now and then they might mention a previous storyline for the benefit of a story, like when they did Orton versus Punk at WrestleMania 27, and then, you know, Punk mentioned how Orton took him out years prior. So if they really wanted to give him heat, you know, it could be like, how can you, Randy Orton, how can you take orders from Vince McMahon, the same guy that you yourself punted in the head? You know, because if you remember, that was when this whole IED, I hear voices in my head stuff started. They could take it all the way back to that and say how it was just an act. You know, you could even almost compare it to Stone Cold turning heel at WrestleMania 17, where Orton, you know, he basically teamed up with his most hated, you know, rival just to win a belt.
And that could even play into some of the Triple H dissension with it. Like, you could have Triple H and Stephanie be like, how could you latch on to this guy? Don't you remember what he did, you know, what he did to me, what he did to your daughter, what he did to your son, you know? So, yeah, that's you could bring up history with that. That would work.
Absolutely. There's many different directions they can go in. And that's where it's exciting, man, because that's why I think Randy Orton needed the briefcase. I think he was one of the guys that needed it. Daniel Bryan has all the momentum in the world. I don't think him losing that match and not having the briefcase lost any momentum for him, man. You saw the crowd last night. They were absolutely crazy. They were just as crazy and silly for Daniel Bryan as they were for Rob Van Dam. And that's really saying something, because RVD coming back home in the Philadelphia area was a huge deal. And I picked up my Rob Van Dam T-shirt. It says Philadelphia, you know, July 14, 2013. So I feel like a real cool guy. I got the commemorative T-shirt and everything. And I was pumped, man. I think I should have bought, they were selling this, like, 8x10 with an autograph. It was when Heyman was handing him the WWE Championship at One Night Stand 2 at the end of it. It was autographed by Rob Van Dam and Paul Heyman. It was legit. I think I should have probably purchased that. Yeah, it looks pretty cool. It was like $20 or $30. I probably should have picked it up, but, you know, maybe I'll get one on eBay cheaper at some point. Speaking of Mr. Paul Heyman, last night on Raw, we had a huge promo with Paul Heyman and CM Punk. That was very good, very, very good. CM Punk was getting a little crazy there. It was kind of scary at some point. The crowd was a bit silent when CM Punk was talking because, man, he just seemed really fired up. You could tell the intensity was somewhat real coming from him. And that's where it's one of the best. But they have officially set up the match that John predicted. A lot of people were calling it for a long time, but John actually put it on paper, sent it into the website about a year ago or something like that, and it is now coming true. SummerSlam, we will see Brock Lesnar versus CM Punk. No question about it. Ain't no doubt about it, like the late Larry Sweeney would say. So Punk versus Brock Lesnar has been set up. John, man, since you're the guy that predicted this officially, What are your thoughts on this match actually taking place and how the setup started?
Well, I think the setup, you know, the F5 a month ago and then, you know, what we got last night, I you know, and all the stuff with Heyman and Punk in between, I think is going to just be gold. The only thing that worries me is that the WWE website's reporting Punk was injured at the hands of Lesnar last night, and I just hope that doesn't take Punk off TV, because I think like 4 weeks of Punk and Heyman on the mic, even if Lesnar shows up, doesn't show up, will be great. I think, you know, you'll see Punk try to maybe go after Curtis Axel. That's going to make Axel seem important, so it helps Axel. Even if Axel catches a beatdown from Punk, you know, he's important because he's an indirect cog to this storyline. As far as the match goes, I really am really intrigued to see where this goes, because for all the matches with Triple H that Brock has had and the Cena match and, you know, his matches with Taker and Goldberg, look back at the matches Lesnar had with Eddie, with Benoit, with Angle. Those matches were really good. So it shows, I mean, it's been a while since we've seen Brock work with a guy like that, but at the you know, Brock at least has the history that he can work a good style with that type of guy. So I think this match, you know, I don't know whether you place it on the card. I think that has a big thing to do with the result of it, but that match has got a chance to steal the show at SummerSlam.
No, absolutely. I think if there's any match, I know Triple H kind of did this in his matches with Lesnar, but if there's any match where they have to bring up Brock Lesnar's kind of surgery that he had in his abdomen, I think this is the one where CM Punk could really exploit it. And if he's going to be the winner, because I think you have to put CM Punk over. He's your baby face. I guess he's probably in your top three, of course, with Cena, Bryan, and Punk right now, as baby faces are concerned. If you're going to put him over at SummerSlam, you really need him to exploit that injury and do it in a very, very awesome way. Something that we haven't seen before, something really cool. Because watching it last night, man, CM Punk looks like, you know, I'm about the same size as CM Punk. I'm not even lying. We're about the same exact size. So, I mean, that would be like Brock Lesnar throwing me around the way it looked. I mean, he was really tossing Punk around like he's a rag doll. But I don't think they'll take Punk off of TV. I think they might take him out of the ring. Because he's probably banged up from Money in the Bank too, man. Maybe he's got a concussion or something like that. But I'm sure they'll take him out of the ring for a little bit. There's no reason to really have him wrestle a full-time schedule if you're building up to this match with Brock Lesnar. TLD, your thoughts on Punk Lesnar and what's going to transpire?
Yeah, it's something new. And, you know, I always go back to when he did that promo a few years ago when he was doing the pipe bomb, and he brought up Brock Lesnar's name and brought up Paul Heyman's name. I mean, that was the catalyst right there. It was so many years ago to now where we are, you know, with CM Punk and Brock Lesnar, something totally different. And CM Punk looks like the guy who's going to get killed. You know, I mean, it looks like CM Punk is not going to win this match. There's just no way, unless they have some kind of hardcore stipulation or a cage match, which I think would be a great environment for those two to be in, and for Paul Heyman. Curtis Axel's involvement, maybe another person that Heyman might want to try to bring in to from NXT and kind of guide. I think there's so many great possibilities, and I think that CM Punk is real. This is a match that he needs to win. He truly needs to win this match because he hasn't had a big win except against Chris Jericho, but to me, that was, he was in Chicago. I think he needs this win more than anything than Lesnar does.
Especially because his babyface turn just really happened. He, you know, he left as a heel. He left WrestleMania pretty much as a heel against The Undertaker. And he needs to win. You're absolutely right about that. It's going to be a solid match. I think if he's going to work with anybody on that road to working with Lesnar, it will probably be with Curtis Axel or something like that. But, hey, if I was WWE, I'd keep him out of the ring as much as possible. That's just me, though. Toph, man, your thoughts on the build and what transpired on Raw between Brock Lesnar and CM Punk?
Well, Lesnar's been back in WWE for a year, and this is like the first story I actually give a crap about. So that's good. And I think this match will be similar to the the brawl, or should I say the unsanctioned street fight. That makes no sense. I always laugh at that concept. I think this match would be similar to the unsanctioned street fight that Shawn Michaels and Triple H had in 2002 of SummerSlam. But, yeah, this is the first Brock Lesnar storyline I actually care about since his return, so that's good.
Yeah, it's a good thing. Paul Heyman's the centerpiece. Paul Heyman's always great at stirring up a crowd, man. He did a great job last night. His promo was absolutely awesome. Loved it. Paul Heyman's a true class act. And, well, maybe not a class act, but he's definitely awesome. But speaking of a class act, believe it or not, the sleaziest man in the wrestling business, Joey Ryan, was really classy yesterday, giving us a candid, exclusive interview. If you've heard his interviews in the past, you know, it's kind of the same type of deal. You know, we talk about TNA. We talk about his heat with Taz. We talk a little baseball with him. We try to talk about his fitness regimen, how it's like, you know, in the wrestling business, staying in shape, especially on the independent scene, when you're not traveling on the road, you know, all the time and stuff like that. Talk a little bit about traveling on the road with Chris Daniels and Kazarian and guys like that. So, we'll, you know, the interview with Joey Ryan will be live in just about 9 minutes, but before we air that interview, let's talk about something I personally want to talk about here, and that is the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio Network. And since I got my top three guys, I'm going to say my top three soldiers on the entire front line here on PWP Radio, I want your opinions. And I'm doing this live in the air, because if anybody wants to listen, give me your opinion, you can. You can call in 760-888-5749. Or, you know, you can just hit me up on Twitter and let me know what you think at PW Powerhouse. But I'm going to start with Tofs. And we have a lot of shows on this network. A few, actually. We've got the Spoilers guys, and they seem to pretty much schedule a show whenever they feel like it. We've got that Pro Wrestling Obsession live show, and they seem to, like, you know, every week they kind of have a guest. They kind of do their own thing. It's a Facebook group, yada, yada, yada. And we got Oh You Didn't Know, which, you know, John Tof is getting involved with that. It's a good concept, and I like it. And that hasn't really been going on now, but it's making a comeback. And TLD started his Shooting with TLD last week here on the network as well. But Tof, my question to you is, should we cut down on the shows that we're doing on the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio Network and just keep it with this main show, PWP Radio, and maybe one other one? Maybe we'll keep Odie You Didn't Know around, or maybe something like that. Should I get rid of, like, Spoilers and PWO Live? What do you think, man?
Well, no disrespect to any of the other shows, because everyone is good at what they do, but I've always been a fan of the less is more concept. I feel like the more shows you have, the harder it is to kind of catch up and invest in a program. I've always felt like the smaller amount of shows, the more important each one of them are. So I definitely would feel more comfortable with the one or two shows. I think three would probably be the limit for me. That's just me personally.
Yeah. I'm starting to feel that way. I kind of want to keep the core group together. Like, if us four can maybe do two or three shows a week, you know, because I know John's going to start bringing back Oh You Didn't Know soon. And if Will wants to do the shooting, half-hour shooting with TLD thing, that's cool. I'm totally cool with that. But I've been bringing in these outsiders. And, I mean, don't get me wrong. I like Graham. Graham's cool as shit. I know he doesn't listen to this show, so I don't really have to worry about him listening, even though I don't give a damn anyway. But he's a cool kid. He likes what he does. He's passionate about wrestling. But that Spoilers podcast, they don't really give a damn about Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio, honestly. This is just another outlet for them to get the thing on the road. And the Pro Wrestling Obsession thing, like, they're good guys too, but it's a Facebook group. It's that simple. It's just a group on Facebook. And I listened to their show. They were supposed to have Ahmed Johnson last week, and they couldn't pull it off. And, man, I don't know what I think about it, really. So I'm going to go to TLD. What are your thoughts on this question I'm posing to you guys? TLD. Oh.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'll put myself on mute. I've listened to all the shows, and I wasn't very happy with my show. I actually don't even want to do it anymore. I like doing the pay-per-view ones. The pay-per-view recaps are always fun to do. I like doing those. So those I like to do just because it's the pay-per-view recap show. I think it's important because it gives us a good exposure, especially when a lot of fans want to hear opinions, and that's fun. And we get a lot of views from those shows, which I think is a good one to keep. So those pay-per-view recaps are fun. I don't think much of the Spoilers, and that's one thing I've noticed, too, is that they like to put over their own shit more over than our network, which is providing them this outlet, and we don't really get too much exposure. It's more about their stuff than ours, and that's the problem I have with that. Is that, you know, you got to take care of the people that take care of you first, kind of deal. And I just don't find any interest in it. And spoilers, they don't even really spoil anything. I don't understand the idea of the name of spoilers when they don't really spoil anything. So, I don't know. I love this show. I think this show's fun. You know, I like doing it. I think All You Didn't Know was great. I always listened to that show. That was always fun. You know, I don't know. I thought Seth was an okay host. I think that, you know, if we bring that back, I would love to still do it. Be a little special guest guy here. In fact, we should put All You Didn't Know and then TLD as a special guest. I think it'd be awesome. But yeah, I think we should stick with this one, and I think it could be recaps. What do you mean? Oh, man, I don't want to hear that shit. What the hell is that? I will kick you. I will not. The next time you call on a pay-per-view recap show, you will be listening to it, and you will not be allowed on. I will block your number in the entire United States of America. You won't even be allowed on this show.
Listen, now that you're retired, I'm taking your entrance music off. No more.
TLDRussman.com. All right. Okay, let's play it.
Do we need to do a promo war? Do we need to start a promo war right now? Do we have to
bust
that out?
All right, I'll do a promo on this tool.
Let's not do that tonight. We'll not do it tonight. Next time we will be prepared for it. We'll do maybe next week we'll do a John versus TLD promo battle here live on the show. We'll give John some time to think about what he's going to say.
Oh, that's not fair.
It's all right. We'll do it impromptu. You know what? You guys aren't going to see it coming. But I'm going to pose the same question to John. John, you know, you heard TLD's thoughts. You heard Toph's thoughts. Should we keep it us four, kind of the core four, rather than branching out with some other people from some other different outlets? Or what's your thoughts?
Okay, first off, one of the best Oh You Didn't Know episodes I actually had was one I did with TLD. So as much as I bust his balls, I have a good time with him whenever.
Thank you.
It's me and him. So, you know, I don't want to come off the wrong way with this. Yeah, I could do without spoilers.
Don't worry about it. Nobody's listening.
I could do without spoilers because I've called into spoilers a few times just to see, like, you know, kind of like establish, like, look, you know, here's the olive branch, here's my hand, you know, I'm kind of showing to you that, you know what, I'm willing to support what you guys do, you know, without saying it, you know, we all work with each other, you know, I mean, you know, we'll do my show, Jay, you've done that show with me, Toph stepped up when Seth, you know, whatever, you know, he's got to do what he's got to do. We've all tried to help make each other work. We always, you know, try to, you know, get each other the exposure and help each other out. And I feel those guys, like, I think you said it, Jay, they don't. It's only about them. And on top of that, they do the show whenever the hell they want. Like, that's, like, annoying. You know, especially if you're trying to build, you know, it doesn't matter if you have a show on every night, 7 nights a week. Have a routine. Have a schedule. Okay, this week is, you know, tonight's this show. Tomorrow night's that. Next night is that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, with them, it just shows what they think of the whole thing when they pretty much schedule a show whenever they want. And I know I should be the last one to talk because I haven't been, you know, as on top of Oh, You Didn't Know, but I have some reasons for that, but we're going to pick up again in September. As far as Pro Wrestling Obsession goes, I've listened to quite a few of them, and Rick used to do Oh, You Didn't Know, and Rick's a good guy. He really is. It's a cool concept, what they do. Like, they have, like, their show is segment-based. It's interview, then something they call the think tank, then they do this, then they do that. Like, they have a routine to their show, but they're another one that they're only concerned about getting what they do over, and I don't think that's the part of it. I know it's not my call at the end of the day, but I think, you know what? It's all about the whole. We're kind of like the Shield. There's no I. It's all about the cause and the group and, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm being serious.
That's always been my take on it too, John.
You know, I appreciate everything you guys have let me do, you know. So, I would...
And that's the point of this, you know, guys. This has been fun. This has been great. And the reason I wanted to pose this question, since I got you guys on the line, we're live in the air. I'm going to click the Joey Ryan interview in a little bit, so we'll be off for the rest of the night. But we're coming on the one-year anniversary of this network. You know, SummerSlam last year, TLD and I had our first episode. We did a live after SummerSlam. We didn't know exactly what we were doing, but we kind of pulled it off. We had a great show. We had a decent amount of live listeners, and I think we've gotten better. Each and every week, we get just a little bit better here in the show. And bring in, like, John on. John called in randomly and one night. And, you know, he contributed, and he's been on basically every week since, which is fucking awesome, because I haven't even been on every week. And I can't even say, you know, I can't say a bad word about Toph either, because Toph, man, I wanted you to call in one night and contribute, and guess what? You called in the next week, and the next week. And I said, damn, this kid really wants to be on board. He wants to contribute every week. I love this. This is awesome. So Toph's on board every week. Plus, you have the clearest voice on anybody here on this radio station, because you actually call from what I believe is a landline. Everybody else uses their cell phones, and it's like terrible audio quality, but we'll get better with that as time goes on. And TLD, you know, my video guy and everything, one of my good friends, and you know, you're here every week as well. You know, whenever I need to step down, you're always there to host, and you're willing to do these post game shows and stuff like that. And it's something where I think the four of us together, call it the core four, I think we can do this better than having any outsiders that really don't give a damn about Pro Wrestling Powerhouse, about what we do, about, you know, the Facebook group or the page or the Twitter or anything like that. I think if we keep it here with the core four, I think that's a better strategy. And I think, you know, we're going to move towards
the core four?
I just like that term.
Core four?
I don't think that should be our nickname. But
can
I just like
to this real quick?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, I'm going to preface this by saying I like Rick, okay? But here's what sums up Rick and the pro wrestling obsession guys to me, you know, and I don't know if you guys know this story. We had, he was getting a lot of our guests for Oh You Didn't Know, so I got to give him credit and give him the props for that. You know, whether they were the best guests or not, that's irrelevant. The bottom line is Rick did the work, Rick got the guys on our show. So I give him 100% credit for that, and I've always been appreciative. And, you know, when he got guys for the show, whether it was Scotty Riggs, whether it was the Maestro, whoever, he wanted to get some tag team on. And I had no clue who they were. And he messaged me, and he messaged Seth on Facebook, how do you feel about having, I forget the guys' names. And I responded with, who? Because I really just didn't know who they were. I never heard of them. I wasn't trying to be a jerk, nothing like that. And he totally flipped out. Like, oh, you guys want all the mainstream stuff, but you know what? You don't want to promote anything independently, blah, blah, blah. And that's when he started with the whole he wanted his own show. So that tells me right there, if he's not going to get what he wants, like, it's all about what his agenda and his group. Like, the Maestro interview, I kept messaging Seth, because Seth was the one that hosted Oh You Didn't Know. And I was like, listen, we've got to cut this short. This, you know, this is going on forever. And Rick would just keep asking questions. And it's like, all right, dude, enough. You know, Fred Ottman, no disrespect, but Fred Ottman, I knew more about his career than he did. Okay? I knew who they won the tag belts off of. And Rick was just like, on and on and on, and it was just about his thing, and it was always started with the whole pro wrestling obsession. It's like, dude, you know what, it's fine to get your stuff out there, but you know what, at the end of the day, there's the reason why we're all here, and that's PWP. Put that over, you know what, you've got these guys that follow your group, that's great. Why not mention it? You know what, maybe you get someone else to follow the group, you know. And he never did that, and to me, that right there was kind of when I was like, you know what, if he wants his own show, let him have it, because I'm, like I said, I like him, but I was done with him from that point of perspective.
Yeah. Well, this is how I'm going to handle this, unless you guys know right now. I'm going to let him do a couple more shows. I'm going to probably let him run until, because I have a schedule. He sent me a schedule. I'm going to probably have him run until about August 9th. And like I said, I doubt he listens to this. And if he does, you know, I'm going to send him this message. And then after that, you know, I'm going to, you know, I'll talk to him, see if he, you know, maybe wants to pitch in financially to the cause a little bit. If he doesn't, then, you know, see you later. But that'll be how we'll handle this. And but that's a great talk, and you know, we'll see what happens for the future Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. I am excited for our one-year anniversary. I'm trying to get some good guests on the line. I'm trying to get Jay Lethal. I'm trying to get some other guys. But a lot of them, it's tough. It's tough, and that's something I do need help with, guys. So if you guys want to go out there and try to get some contacts, try to get some interviews lined up, that'd be cool, because it's tough, man. A lot of these guys don't want to do it, but somebody who did want to do it is none other than Joey Ryan. So we're going to cut the live show right now, and thanks to Toph, TLD, and JCD. Toph, any final comments tonight on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio?
Oh, just don't forget, guys, that Destination X is this Thursday. It's basically a pay-per-view on free TV, so check it out. It should be a good show.
Yeah, I love it, and TLD remembers we did a little video show talking about when TNA decided to do this, decided to go on the road and cut down the pay-per-views and stuff like that, and I was like, you need to use these concepts and do a Clash of the Champions type of show, and that's what they're doing. It's a smart fucking move. I can't wait to watch it. TLD, any final comments tonight on PWC Radio?
No, I'm actually kind of glad you brought up those little things about everything that was going on with the other shows, and great weekend of wrestling for myself. Just overall happy. Now I'm dealing with the back pain, but you know what? It's all worth it in the realm that we call pro wrestling. And John, I am better than you.
All right, JCD, man, final comments tonight, PWC Radio.
I'm sorry, I'm still laughing at that comment, but it's been a great run, and Oh You Didn't Know returns Wednesday night, September 4th, and Toph, you're going to love this. We're going to do 2 hours on the invasion. We're going to keep the retrospective concept of the show that we did with the Triple H. But, and I think going forward, and first one up is the invasion. I got some good topics ready to go once we get back in September. We're going to do retrospectives on Austin, Sting, WCW as a company, ECW, but women's wrestling. I've got some emails out to some people maybe about to get a nice little panel for that show. But, yeah, we're kicking it back off with the invasion angle and what went wrong.
All right, I'm up for that, guys. Hope you listen. Stay tuned to the Joey Ryan interview. And thanks a lot for listening to Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. The live show ends now, but the recorded show begins. So thank you very much, and enjoy the sleaziest man in the wrestling business. Enjoy our interview with Joey Ryan. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this will be our big interview with Joey Ryan. We're recording this on July 15th, 2013, to air tonight right here on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. Without further ado, let me bring to you one of the top independent professional wrestlers on the entire scene today. Just got released from TNA Wrestling. I bring to you the one and only Joey Ryan. Joey Ryan, how you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I just got back from Philly last night and went to Money in the Bank, saw the big return of RVD, and definitely had a good time. You guys were show last night?
I beat him twice. Beat him twice, RVD. Pinned him twice. Two times.
So that's a couple huge victories in your TNA career. And
I think it's my only two victories in TNA, other than Al Snow.
That's right.
If I beat Al Snow, I beat RVD twice, that's not bad, right?
No, absolutely not. That's pretty good for your resume. Absolutely.
Right. Okay,
well,
sorry.
Thanks so much for taking time out of your schedule to join us today on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. It's an honor to have you on, and we appreciate it. And just to start this off, I know there's been a t-shirt website that just started called ProWrestlingTees.com, started by the guys from 1HourTees.com. And I've seen you plug in this a lot on Twitter. Tell us a little bit about this t-shirt website that you now have.
Yeah, you notice that I plug in it every 15 minutes. Just kidding. It's ProWrestlingTees.com. There's a bunch of people on that. I mean, there's Daniels and Kazarian, Kevin Steen, Cole Cabana, me. Tons of like everyone's favorite wrestlers are on there. And basically, it's just a shop for independent pro wrestling t-shirt sales. And it's really it's really a great idea, and it's really come in handy for, you know, organizing our T-shirt sales. And, you know, a lot of us, you guys usually just do that by ourselves, you know, have to do all the mailing out and stuff like that. But then now we have this, you know, this person. And they don't even, you know, honestly, they're so good to us. They don't even take a huge cut or anything. Like, kind of, you know, pay for the shirt to be made and then split cut. Just, like, take a really small share of the profit and then give us the rest. And that's really, really, like, best for, like, all of us independent wrestlers who are trying to market our own shirts.
Yeah, absolutely. It seems like a win-win situation. And I always really express to other fans and listeners of our show to support independent wrestling in every way you can, because there's a big market out there for it, and we just need to keep it going in a positive direction. And it looks like you're getting back on the independent scene after your release from TNA just recently. What's in the immediate future for you in on the independent wrestling scene?
Well, I just did some Lucha of the Boom shows here in L.A., and then I've got PWG also in L.A. coming up. I've got some stuff in New York coming up, FWE, I'm making my debut there. I'm just putting a lot of feelers out, seeing who's interested, kind of getting my schedule back to normal, you know, make sure I stay busy because I still got bills to pay, you know.
Absolutely. And I remember seeing you on the independent scene probably like 5-6 years ago for the first time. And when I saw you, I thought your character was really interesting and different from anything else I saw on that Pro Wrestling Guerrilla show. Because let's face it, a lot of independent wrestlers are kind of the same, kind of generic, where your character really stands out. And tell us a little bit how that character of Joey Ryan developed. Is it an offshoot of your real personality, or is it just something completely different?
I think it's a little bit of me. I mean, there's definitely parts of me in it, but really it was when, you know, I was wrestling for a few years and, you know, kind of trying to do the paid-by-numbers wrestler thing, kind of, do you know, lead, follow by example and try to be like the guys who came before me. And, I thought there's all these rules you had to follow to make it and be successful. And then, like, I kind of got comfortable and realized that there are no rules and, you know, I kind of do whatever you want as long as you can make it work. And I decided I wanted to be a wrestler like the wrestlers that I grew up watching, which you know, I have three older brothers and I grew up in the 80s, so I wanted to be an 80s wrestler. You know, I started watching wrestling around that time, so I just wanted to, you know, be the kind of wrestler that made me a fan. So I just wanted to get as close to being plucked out of 1986 as possible. And so I, you know, developed the look, the chest hair, the mustache, you know, even my style of wrestling, the moves I would do, the way I would do punches or kicks or anything like that. I just kind of plucked myself out of the 80s and applied it to now.
Yeah, definitely. And that's part of the reason I thought you had a really great chance to become successful in TNA wrestling. And in my eyes, you know, getting that year and getting that initial push on Gut Check, it seemed like it was a success in itself because it was definitely a groundbreaking storyline where it seemed more, you know, real than anything that was staged. And I've heard you say in past interviews that you didn't really know a lot about the Gut Check result and how it was going to develop. How true is that? Was Gut Check really kind of like a real deal thing? Did you not know what was going to happen while it was going on?
Yeah, I mean, for the first part of it, you know, when they called me and asked me if I wanted to do it, it was, you know, it was very much like reality-based TV. And they just wanted to kind of, you know, give it a go or whatever. And then, which was surprising to me because, you know, you're putting this guy on live TV that you don't really know and you don't have any control over. But, I mean, it's kind of what they wanted. They wanted the unpredictability. And then, so I did my match, and, you know, I wrestled Austin Aries, and thank God I wrestled Austin Aries because it was a good match, and they liked it. And then, but I think they kind of felt a little pressure because they had given, I was the second ever Gut Check, and they gave the first guy, Alex Silva, a contract, and I don't, you know, there was the whole controversy of Ric Flair changing his vote, and was that a work or was that a shoot, and stuff like that. So I think they were gearing me up to be a no no matter what, because, you know, they couldn't have the first two guys get in and kind of lose his credibility for the segment. But they liked my match and they liked my character, so they were, you know, they weren't saying that they were going to tell me no, but they were kind of giving me hints, like Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff would come up to me and say, hey, we like your look, we like your work. If it doesn't work out now, let's keep in touch, we'll do something in the future. Kind of giving me a hint that they were going to say no, or at least the Gut Check judges had already made the decision to say no. So, you know, I kind of geared up and was ready to go, and, you know, they had me being a heel character, so I wasn't going to go in there and just be like, all right, cool guys, see you later. You know, I was going to definitely let it out. The only direction I did get, which is, again, surprisingly when I did the judging thing, was, like, way not, like, less produced than I thought it would be because it is live TV and they're handing me a live microphone. But the only thing I got, the only producing I got was Eric Bischoff came up to me right before I went out and said, hey, I understand that you're good with a microphone, so don't be afraid to, speak your mind. And that kind of gave me the go-ahead to be like, all right, well, then when they did tell me no, I just kind of let the 12 previous years of getting told no by major companies out. And, you know, I got in Taz's face and all that stuff. And all that, none of that stuff was scripted. All that was just off the hip right there. And then when I did that, I wasn't even sure, like, if they were going to be happy with it or if I ruined the segment or if people were going to be pissed. But I just knew that, you know, having the opportunity on live TV, that I wasn't going to just waste it. So I did that. And then when I came to the back, you know, like Eric Bischoff, the first person came up to me and just said, like, that was great. That was what the segment's supposed to be. That was live. That's what live TV is all about. And then just kind of praised me a bunch. And then the next day, and then I flew home and got a call the next day from Bruce Pritchard, and he said, we'd like to offer you a contract. And then they mailed me the contract, and I think a week later I was under contract. So the first segment, the match and the judging wasn't planned at all. And then once that happened, then the storyline started.
It was awesome. I loved it. It seemed like you had some legit heat with Taz at the time. I'm not sure how scripted that was because it came off awesome. How's your relationship with Taz throughout your show day run?
I mean, we eventually got over that, but initially, yeah. I mean, he was a little put off by me because, you know, I was sitting there. It wasn't like it wasn't scripted, and I was sitting there. He didn't know who I was, and, you know, or where I came from. And, you know, I was bad-mouthing his work and, you know, and things like that. And, you know, he's proud of his work, obviously. And so he was a little put off by the fact that I was saying what I was saying to his face and getting in his face and, you know, especially on live TV. So, you know, at first there was a little bit of tension between us, but then I think once he calmed down a little bit and realized that, you know, I was just kind of doing whatever I could to get a job, you know, we smoothed it out and, you know, we're cool now. He's a nice guy.
Yeah, very
proud of his work, though. I don't blame him for being proud of his work, you know, but, you know, he's, you know, we worked it out.
Well, this is a question I have, and I always ask my guests on the show about physical fitness in professional wrestling. And it's a gigantic part of it. We all know that it's demanding. And when it comes to being in tip-top physical shape, I know you made a comment recently. I follow you on Twitter, at Joey Ryan Online. For anybody who's not following him, definitely go follow Joey on Twitter. But I saw you make a comment. I don't know if it was on Twitter or another interview where you said you haven't wrestled a match longer than 7 minutes in a year, something along those lines. How do you stay in shape in the professional wrestling world when you're an independent wrestler or you're not wrestling, you know, 30-minute matches on a consistent basis?
Well, you know, you just got to get in the gym. I mean, it's not the same kind of cardio, it's the same kind of workout as wrestling, but, you know, you get in the gym as much as you can, and, you know, you can get in the ring before shows and you know, during your off time, if there's schools around you, to kind of train with either your friends or guys that are in the class or whoever you can get to go training with. There's all that applies. I exaggerated a little bit about the 7 minutes thing. It's just because, you know, PWG, I was in reference to the PWG show that I'm in. I'm in a six-man tag coming up, and, you know, it's just the fact that most TV matches are pretty short, and, you know, I was in TNA for a year. But, you know, I mean, on the house shows, you know, I wrestled longer than 7 minutes, but it was just kind of like a – because PWG is kind of known for, like, these long, like, dramatic – big matches, and then I'm in a six-man, so he's kind of making a joke about, okay, thank God I don't have to do, like, something where I'm by myself in the ring for 30 minutes, because, you know, you do get out of condition when you don't do it. You know, I haven't been PWG for a while, so I didn't want to be like, all right, here's a singles match, go wrestle for 30 minutes, so, you know, come back easily, or, you know, ease my way back into those kind of matches.
What kind of, you mentioned PWG, ovation do you expect from PWG faithful? Because I know you were a staple there for years upon years. What kind of reaction do you expect from
them? I don't know. They've always been very good to me. I mean, I tend to be either love them or hate them kind of guy. People either love me or they hate me, which is, I'm fine with. I'd rather somebody hate me than be indifferent towards me. But PWG's always been nice, you know, good to me, like, you know, like, the fans have always given me great responses, and, you know, they've always been appreciative. My merchandise always does well there. So yeah, I mean, but judging based on that, you know, I would say the reception could be good, but, you know, you never know. A little bit of time has changed anyways, and, you know, I am wrestling some favorites there, so, again, some favorites there, so we'll see. I'm looking forward to it. It's exciting.
Absolutely. How about Ring of Honor? I remember I went here on the East Coast, and Ring of Honor has run most of their shows here And I saw you wrestle at the Hammerstein Ballroom in New York, or maybe it was the Manhattan Center. I can't remember which level it was on. But I know I saw you wrestle there a few years ago. And that is when I really got introduced to your character with the vignettes they produced in the Video Wire and stuff like that. And I saw a lot of potential for a great run in Ring of Honor, but it seemed like it kind of came to like a halt at some point. How was that, and what really happened for your demise in Ring of Honor? How did that go?
Well, you know, I was there for a couple, I think 2009, 2010. It was good. You know, I mean, I liked it. It was a great experience. I would love to go back. I think they were going through some changes within the company. Again, just kind of similar reasoning to my TNA departures, that it became a budget reason. And, you know, I know I live in Los Angeles, and I know California flights aren't cheap. They're probably the most expensive flights you can get to flying in town, especially to the cities that Ring of Honor would run in. So I think it became more of a budget issue than anything else, because I still have a great relationship with them, you know. And
yeah,
it wasn't like, it's same with TNA. It wasn't personal. It wasn't about my work. It was just more financial reasons. And it's tough. It's tough being an independent wrestler in California right now, because, you know, it's a cross-country flight, and those aren't cheap. So, you know, and the company was shifting within, you know, inside in the office and stuff. So, yeah, I think that was the main reason. I mean, they were never... Yeah, they never gave me like an outright reason. It was just more of a, like, we can't do it right now because of, you know, budgeting.
Have you been in contact with them at all since you left TNA? Is there any chance of a return?
It's possible down the line. They're a company that looks pretty far ahead of time, like 2 or 3 months ahead of time. So it's hard to just kind of slip guys in. But, you know, I'm in touch with them, so we'll see. Maybe somewhere down the line.
Absolutely. That would be pretty cool. So how about WWE? I mean, they just opened up this performance center in Orlando, Florida, and there's something along the lines of like 15 rings in that joint. There's going to be a lot more developmental talent that are going to flood there. If they offered you a development deal, is that something you'd be interested in?
Yeah, I wouldn't turn it down. I mean, that's kind of one place I've done extra work for them, but I've never really, you know, had a real look, I don't think. You know, most of the time, you know, I do that stuff, the extra work, it's just kind of bland and not character. And that, you know, I'm not afraid to admit that, you know, like, my work isn't as good as my character work. You know, my in-ring work isn't as good as my character work. So I think if they got the chance to see me in character, you know, they would maybe change the story. I mean, like I said, I'm either a love-and-hate kind of guy, and WWE's never really been on my side. But they have a new regime in there now than the last time I was there, the last several times I was there. And, you know, I think that if they got a chance to see my character stuff, that, you know, it might turn them around on me. But, again, I haven't really been able to show that, because when you go in, you're an extra and you do extra work and you do dark matches or matches on Velocity or SmackDown or Raw or whatever, Heat back in the day, or Superstars or whatever it is now, you know, they kind of put you in plain gear, plain boots, and just go out there and no character stuff. So, I mean, I'd like to get a shot. Who knows? Maybe down the line, but I'm not pulling my best for it either. I'm pretty happy with what I've done and where I'm at, and I'm able to make a living on my independent team. So that's more than a lot to say, you know. And I just, you know, it's kind of nice sometimes to be able to make my own schedule. But again, I wouldn't mind obviously having a shot at something bigger.
Sure, absolutely. Now, you said you're in Los Angeles, and you mentioned your character. I said before, I said your character's great. And Los Angeles is known, you know, Hollywood's out there. There's a lot of acting gigs. Is that something you're interested in? Do you have a feeling that you could possibly get involved in a little bit of acting or comedy or something along those lines?
Well, I kind of have a little bit, because there's so much work out here to do. Like, kind of how I supplement my independent wrestling work too, is that I do a lot of extra work for you know, background work for movies or TV or something like that, where you don't really notice, you're just kind of blended in the background. It's kind of hard though, because, you know, I have a distinct look, you know, that I keep for wrestling, and it's kind of hard to get, you know, acting opportunities, because in acting it's better if you look like, you know, average everyday guy or bland, because then they can make you whatever they want. It's like, obviously, the opposite of wrestling, where you want to kind of stand out a little bit more. But yeah, I mean, it's out here, and you know, I'm gonna have a commercial agent, but nothing grand or anything like that, at least not yet.
All right, so this is something I wanted to talk to you about, because I'm a sports fan. I'm not just a wrestling fan. I love sports, all sports. And I've been following you on Twitter, and I know you're a big baseball fan. And you're like the Angels or the Dodgers? Which team?
I'm an Angels guy.
an Angels guy. What do you think about Mike Trout, man? This guy is unbelievable. He's a phenom in professional baseball. What are your thoughts on Mike Trout?
He's great. You know, the Angels are not playing up to par, not playing as well as they could right now, but he's obviously carrying his part. He's probably the most exciting guy to watch when you go to the games.
Yeah, he's a Jersey guy, so I'm definitely familiar with him coming up. We all kind of, I pay attention to the college sports around here and everything, and he was damn good. I remember his name from years ago, and the future definitely looks bright. The home run derbies tonight, are you going to be tuning into that?
I will be tuning into that. Actually, yeah, the reason why we couldn't do this interview live tomorrow is because of the All-Star game.
Absolutely. And that's no problem. I agree. Who do you got? Who's your favorite for the home run derby tonight?
Gosh, it's hard to – I mean, Chris Davis is just crushing the ball right now, and his swing is so, like, free and easy that I don't – you know, it doesn't look like it would fatigue him to hit a bunch, you know. You know, some of the other guys that swing a little bit harder, like the – I mean, it's hard to say, like, you know, Prince Fielder's won it two times already, but, you know, he swings very violently and hard, and, you know, so you know, you could see him getting fatigued. But, yeah, it's a tough to call. You know, then, you know, there's always, like, surprises, too, where guys that, you know, maybe, you know, don't necessarily try to hit for power when they're playing in games, but, like, you know, when they take a batting practice or, you know, they can turn it on when they want, but they just, you know, in games are always trying to get hits and stuff. So you never really know with a home run derby. There's always the favorite that does well, and there's always the surprise that does well.
Absolutely. Maybe a guy like Robinson Cano might do it again because he's just a great hitter. Bryce Harper, he's a great hitter, doesn't have a lot of home runs this year, but he's got that type of swing where he can hit a lot out really quick. And My pick's Chris Davis, man. 37 home runs at the All-Star break. You just can't really go against that at all. Now, here's the fun part. It's a great question I always have for professional wrestlers on the show. And it's something that I find really, really funny and amusing. Being on the road is a huge part of pro wrestling, especially independent pro wrestling. And do you have any, like, fun or funny road stories that you haven't really told before? Anything, like, outlandish or a good time that you want to share with the audience?
Jeez, you know, like, it's hard to think of one on the spot that's appropriate to tell.
Don't worry about it. We're on internet radio, so it's not really, you know, a huge deal
right.
when it comes to that
I
kind
hear
of
you,
topic.
I hear I mean, nothing too crazy or outlandish, because you know, like, obviously, wrestling has become a little bit more. I don't know if they, like, call me in the last few years, but, you know, nothing like the stories I hear from the veterans that are coming up, you know, from the 80s and 90s. Those stories are pretty outrageous. But, yeah, I mean, I don't really hang with too rough of a crowd either. You know, when I'm on the road, it's kind of – I kind of hang with – at least when I was in TNA, I would travel with Daniel Kazarian and AJ Styles and guys like that who are, you know, family men and not really up for the all-nighters and the ribbing and the, you know, party scene. So, you know, I stayed pretty calm while I was there. I can't really think of anything off the top of my head. I'm trying to give you something here, but not coming to me.
That's cool. It's a tough question. I get that response sometimes. How about, like, backstage? I know PWG usually has a real cast of characters that come in from all over the independent scene, especially at, like, the Battle of Los Angeles, the gigantic tournament that I think is top five pro wrestling shows every year because it's such a great concept. Any, like, kind of fun shenanigans that took place, like, backstage or anything with some guys?
I mean, that's always, like, a cool, like, you know, like you said, like, you know, great bunch of characters. And everybody's always in, you know, a great mood when they come to PWG and excited to be there, which I think translates well to the in-ring product and the audience and just the general vibe in the room. I think a lot of the funny stuff, though, or a lot of the playing around happens actually on camera in PWG, you know. You notice a lot of guys are, you know, sometimes, you know, even the more serious guys like a Davey Richards, who you don't really see do much funny stuff outside the ring in other companies, he'll come in and do some character comedy stuff, like, you know, we did a six-man with me, Kyle O'Reilly, and Davey Richards last year, and you know, they wore my Hawaiian print stuff, and they all came out with my Hawaiian shirts on and stuff like that. And usually Davey's just, you know, down and ready to wrestle and tough, you know, tough guy. You know, he's not really my personality, but you know, he can let a little loose with it because it's like, you know, it's friendly. You know, everybody's having a good time in that
water.
So I think a lot of the fun stuff at CWG actually happens on camera.
Then I put the frozen side on a paper towel. That's great. Now you're going to be on the August 9th show or August 10th show?
August 9th. It's a 10-year anniversary show.
Who are you booked against? Do you know yet?
Yeah, it's a six-man tag. It's me and Drew Taylor and Peter Avalon against B-Boy, Willie Mack, and Candice LeRae.
All right. Got any thoughts on that? Got any like, kind of promo to come about that, that big match coming up?
Yeah, I'm still working on it. You know, I don't know. Like, again, I don't know what the crowd reaction is going to be like. You know, I usually get a good, pretty good crowd reaction at PWG, but, you know, I'm wrestling some favorites there, so who knows? Who knows how the crowd's going to be? So, I'm just looking forward to it. I'm excited. You know, it's been a while since I've been there, so I'm looking forward to getting back.
Yeah, you're going to get a hero's reaction, of course, because you're a founding father of that company, pretty much, and I mean, I have a feeling you're going to get a great reaction from the crowd, but I'm sure you're going to pull some kind of sleazy nonsense, and they're going to turn on you really, really quick.
Yeah, we'll let you know. You never know, wrestling fans.
Yeah, you never do know. So, any final words for, you know, your run in TNA, or what's for the future of Joey Ryan and for the audience tonight?
You know, nothing that we haven't covered already. Like I just, you know, like I said, I left on good terms. I don't really have anything bad to say about him. You know, all these different rumors that are going around with TNA about money. I never had a problem with money. They always paid me on time. In fact, they're giving me a little bit of pay at the end of my deal too. That now I've been released, I'm still getting paid a little bit. So, you know, they paid me well, and so like you know. I can't really complain about that. They didn't, you know, have to be under contract, and they did, which I appreciate. So everything's on the up and up there. Doris definitely able to come back. Just try to get my bookings together now, stay on the independent scene as much as I can. My email is joeyryan@hotmail.com if anybody's interested in booking me for a show. You can find me on Twitter @joeyryanonline or search for me on Facebook. I'm on there too. And Instagram and Vine and YouTube. I'm Joey Ryan Tube on YouTube. I'm very social network friendly. So go and like and subscribe and follow on all the things you can. And that's pretty much it. You know, I'm just like so I'm just trying to get back into the swing of things.
That's awesome. I really like, you mentioned YouTube. I really like that YouTube work you did in the beginning of your run at TNA when you were doing those kind of like viral videos. Are you planning on doing any more of those?
You know what? People keep asking me that. I might do it just by popular request here because, you know, all that was part of like, you know, when I first got signed, we kind of didn't know what we were going to do with everything. So, you know, I could make these, you know, I was making these, you know, these appearances in the crowd and stuff. But in between that, we didn't really know how to keep it going. So I just said, look, I'll just make these things, I'll do them and whatever, and we'll start to make it go viral and make it look a little bit more like I'm kind of on my own without you guys. But, yeah, people seem to like them. They're still up. They're still getting hits. People still comment on them. And so maybe I can't remember what number I left off on, but maybe there's room for volume, whatever it is on that now.
I just got a caller. One of my co-hosts just called in. I know he called in a little late, but he's got a question to ask you. And I'm just going to go to John, JCD Dimitelli. John, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, man? Hey, Joey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, man, good, man. One of the things, and if you guys already addressed it, I apologize. I'm kind of doing this while I'm at work, so... I always wondered, the gut check with you, with TNA, and what it morphed into with the angle and everything, was that something that was always kind of laid out, or was that just based on the reaction of the fact that, you know, how your match went and the crowd reaction to you? You know, was it kind of spontaneous, or was that always in the cards?
Well, like I mentioned earlier, you know, when I did the match with Austin Aries and I did the judging segment, those were not scripted. Those were just, I wasn't under any kind of deal at that point. They were just spontaneous live TV moments. And then based off what my interaction with Taz and my, you know, and the way the gut check judging segment went, they decided to put me under contract, and then they started storylining things out. Again, and like I just mentioned a minute ago with the YouTube stuff I did, it wasn't really clear. They just knew they wanted to capitalize on the hype. It really wasn't clear where it was going and what we were going to do at that point. And then as it went on, it became more clear. And, you know, Taz can't wrestle anymore because of injuries, so we switched gears to Al Snow. And then and so it, you know, that's just, and that's how it played out. And then they did the match down for glory. So, you know, the first couple things there was no storyline to the first couple appearances I made, but after the stuff with the judging segment is when they put me under contract.
Cool. Okay. Awesome. I was really impressed with that. It's a shame, you know, it's the nature of the business, but man, you deserve better there. You really did.
And thank you very much. And, you know, like it's not, you know, I completely understand their side of it too. You know, they're on the road now and it's more expensive and they have to make budget cuts and things like that. And they were utilizing me on television and, you know, and they cut most of the guys they weren't utilizing on television. And you know, it wasn't personal, it was business. And I understand that. It wasn't about my work or anything like that. You know, it came down to, you know, who was in the storylines, who was in the plans right now, and I wasn't. I would have liked to have done a good singles run. You know, I thought me and Matt did some good work together, but that was more geared for Matt, you know, to Matt to be unstoppable, and that, you know, I was kind of the guy, you know, supposed to kind of take the falls for Matt and stuff like that. So that storyline was geared more for Matt. And then when we split, I thought, you know, I'd have an opportunity to do a little bit more singles and show what I could really bring to the company. I thought that they got behind me a little bit and, you know, pushed me a little bit and got, you know, and even merchandise. My merchandise was great. You know, I think they could have made money off me. You know, sitting at home the last 2 or 3 months just collecting paychecks, and, you know, it became like a money pit to them, which I understand why they couldn't have them. You know, as nice as that is, I knew that wasn't going to last forever. But, I think I could have definitely made money for them had they just utilized what I could bring to the table.
Yeah, I was actually surprised your program, they didn't do more with your program when you were working with RVD or the X Division title. I really thought that was something that could have really, you know, worked and, you know, shot you up, you know, once, you know, you kind of got away from Morgan. But, you know, I mean, and for what it's worth, I'll see you at FWE in October, man. Or excited to see you live. No problem.
All right, Joey. Thanks so much for joining us today. I really, really appreciate the interview. And you follow Joey, like you said before, at Joey Ryan online on Twitter. And he's all over social media. I'm talking Facebook, Vine, YouTube, LinkedIn, MySpace, everywhere. The guy is everywhere. And the future. There you go. Friendster, Adult Friend Finder, everywhere.
Christian Single. Christian Mingle.
blackpeoplemeet.com. You're on everything. So the future is bright. I got a gut feeling about this. I'm usually pretty good at this kind of stuff. And I'm sure we'll be seeing you around the independent scene in the future. So thanks so much for joining us, Joey, and enjoy the All-Star festivities for Major League Baseball.
Thanks for having me.
You got it, brother. That was Joey Ryan. What a great guy. Just very nice of him to join us today on kind of short notice. And this recorded on Monday afternoon, and he told us straight up he wants to watch the All-Star game tomorrow night. That's why he couldn't join us live tonight on PWP Radio. But I hope you enjoyed the show. I mean, we talked about Money in the Bank. We talked about Monday Night Raw. And we're going to just keep going in a positive direction. Keep moving forward. Follow us on Twitter at PW Powerhouse. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. Follow my man John at JCD1219NY on Twitter.
Thank you.
And you got it, my brother. Thanks for calling in, man. And
oh, no problem. Like I said, I'm at work, so tried to sneak it in.
Yeah, no, it's cool, man. No problem. Joey was awesome today, and I thought he might have forgotten about us, but he did not. He's a class act. And he answered a lot of questions, John. So when you go back and listen to this, he gave a lot of insight. I tried to keep this positive as possible, but of course, you know, TNA is the big news with him lately, and we did a lot of talking about TNA wrestling, and I tried to get as much information out of him as possible for, you know, a one-man show. But, yeah, Joey Ryan, we'll see him across the independent scene, and hopefully he gets another shot. Maybe we talk a little bit about WWE developmental and what's going on there in Orlando with the Performance Center just opening up. They got to fill some spots with developmental because they're going to be bringing a lot of these guys up to the roster soon, you know?
I just don't know if his character can work in that PG product. I mean, he's so unique, and between the look and the charisma and the personality, I just don't know if he. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'd love to see him there. I'm not saying for him not to go there. I'm not saying that at all. I don't know if they would know what to do with him right now. Attitude Era, definitely. Early 2000s, definitely. Now in this PG era. I just don't know, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you got to remember, too, when these talents get the WWE developmental, they always tweak it. Like, of course, El Generico is no longer Canadian-Mexican with a mask. Now he's Sami Zayn. He's the same wrestler as you've seen his matches. If you watch any of his stuff, he can still go.
Yeah.
But, they can always tweak it. And if they're looking for top independent wrestlers, I think Joey Ryan should be towards the top of their list.
In-ring wise, without a doubt, it's just, I don't know, would you want to see his character tweaked into whatever it is they do, that whole sleeve and all that stuff, like, that's him. I don't know if they'd let him be that. That's what would worry me about. I think they would totally, make him, an accountant or something.
Yeah. Well, he mentioned the heat with Taz that he had, and he said that was real. Taz did not appreciate Joey talking trash on his career. Taz is very proud of his work. He's a very proud individual. And he said they just, talked it over and were able to kind of
call
out differences. But, I mean, he kind of proved with his TNA run that he knows how to get under people's skin naturally, and that's what makes a great heel in professional wrestling. He's got that natural ability to do that.
Yeah, the only thing that was wrong with the whole Taz thing was everyone, I guess because it was so real between the two of them, and, like you said, Taz, really taking offense to, the comments about his body of work, is everyone, I guess, kind of jumped into the fact that, ooh, maybe they're going with Ryan Taz, and then everyone, oh, shoot, Taz can't wrestle no more, I remember that those things got a little, that's why I asked him, was that from the start, or was that just you guys going at it, was that just, spontaneous?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was in the beginning, completely spontaneous, and very interesting to get insight from a gut check competitor. Now, I guess it remains to be seen what the future of gut check is, since I'm sure they're going to still do it. But since they released a huge portion of their Gut Check stars, I'm pretty sure everybody that got signed, aside from Jay Bradley and Sam Shaw. So it remains to be seen what will happen. But as he said, the future looks pretty good. He's already booked. He's going to continue taking wrestling bookings. And definitely awesome for Joey Ryan. So
I'd like to thank
him again for joining us here on PWP Radio. And you can look forward to our shows coming up the rest of the week and next week here live on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio each and every Tuesday night. We're going to try to bring you some more independent stars and whatnot. In the wrestling world, it's just, John, the reality of it is not every wrestler responds to emails. I don't know what it is. I don't know how many times I got to email Jay Lethal to get him on the show. I really want to talk to that guy, man. I really want to talk to him, but I tweeted at him. I'm like, Jay, I sent you an email about, coming on my radio show. And he'll be like, hey, send it again. It got lost in the shuffle. So I'll send it again, and he still won't respond. So I sent him a handful. Same with Joey. I know it's tough for these guys, but I sent him a couple emails before he actually got back to me. But thank goodness he did, and I'm really glad that he did, because he was classy tonight, and I appreciate that.
Okay.
So, So, John, you're going to join us tomorrow night when we actually air this interview?
I don't think we're doing any work in the house tomorrow night. So, and the little guy's on a good schedule now. I think I can.
Yeah, thanks, man. We'll be talking about Money in the Bank. I was there live, and we'll discuss it then. I don't really want to talk about it now.
and we're going to talk about Monday Night Raw. So that's what you just
I
heard.
I have a feeling
and
I was the only guy from this network that was not at Money in the Bank.
Except you and Toph. You and Toph were the only two. But there were a lot of people there. A lot of people there, and I don't like to bury people, but I'm not going to bury this guy because I just don't get it. I was talking to everybody about this. I don't understand the appeal of this dude, Justin Labar. I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know why he's a big deal.
Let me tell you, I had it out with him on, he has a show that he does, I want to say on Mondays or Tuesday afternoons on a radio station in Pittsburgh, and right after the Royal Rumble disaster, with all the guys who were coming back, I called and, you know, I asked him straight out. I said, listen, I said, when are you guys going to take some accountability, you know, for the ridiculousness that, you know, you guys are, you know, claim is exclusive and insider stuff on WrestleZone. And, oh, let me tell you, I don't think they could hit the click button fast enough to get me off that call. So I don't see it either. I mean, you know, anyone can make anything up just for the sake of it, but, you know. I'm not a fan either.
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily have any personal ill will towards the guy, but I was at Xfinity Live for Money in the Bank, the pregame show, I guess, pretty much. There was Xfinity Live is on the same lot as like the Wells Fargo Center. It's in between the Wells Fargo Center, like Citizens Bank Park and Lincoln Financial Field. So it's a big sports bar that's really cool and a good time. And he was there, and he was hosting some kind of little happy hour for people. If you want to go get drinks and you mentioned his name, you got some kind of, like, small discount on your drinks, which is cool. I mean, he's got a following, and he's a columnist, a dirt sheet writer, and does video stuff, whatever. And that's all good. But, man, when I tell you, when I walked up, there were people, like, so ecstatic to see this guy, man. They were, like, taking pictures with him. Even everybody says. My buddy Seth took a picture
with
this guy.
I asked these guys,
you know, and they were saying, oh, he's a cool guy. And that's cool. I think I'm a cool guy. I mean, I think, you know, you're a cool guy. And I'm not jealous in any way, shape, or form because, personally, I don't care about getting myself over. I'm concerned with the ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com brand, the PWP Radio brand. We just started. It's not like we've been around for a decade like this dude has. But we're trying to get the ball rolling in a positive direction. And I'm not hating on him at all. I just don't get it. And I tried asking, like, Seth and my boy Frank from Wrestle Reactions. I tried asking. I was like, what's the big deal? I don't understand the big deal. I don't get it. He's a normal dude that reports dirt sheet news.
You
know, I don't get it.
You know what
gets
me with him? I'll tell you what. I'll be honest with you. And, again, not to harp on the Royal Rumble stuff again, but, like, I'm not going to lie. I don't know him, but I know Mike Johnson for years because of all the ECW shows in Queens that I used to go to, and I used to always see him there. Mike probably doesn't know my name, you know, but you know when you know someone's face and it's like, hey, what's up, you know, how are you? You know, just cordial, nothing more than that. And when the Royal Rumble stuff happened from this year, when everyone swore this one, that one, he was the only one who I saw who posted any type of, you know what, I got it wrong. You know, I was led to believe it was going to be this, and you know what, I should have done my homework, and you know what, I didn't. I got it wrong, and to that, I apologize. He was the only one. Labar didn't. None of these guys didn't do that. And that's the difference, it's okay to be human, okay? It's okay to, you know, make a mistake and own up to it. You know, but like a guy like Labar and even Josh Eisenberg and, you know, Mike Killiam and Nick Papagonio, all those guys on Russell, they think like they're the second coming of the business, and they're not.
Oh, absolutely not. That's you just hit the nail on the head. And, you know, WrestleZone.com is cool, man. That's one of the two sites I always went to when I was into reading these reports and stuff was WrestleZone, and the other one, and I'll name drop, was LordsOfPain.net. Those are the two I always went to. I never went directly to Meltzer, directly to Johnson or whoever on their big, big, big major sites. I always went to the secondary source. It was free, easy, and I kind of started to get into it a little bit. But I just don't get it anymore. And I still go to WrestleZone occasionally now. I stopped for a long time. I boycotted it for a long time, but I'll admit that I go back to WrestleZone now and check some stuff out. Because it's the one thing that's good about a site like this is you can get all this information. Like, you can see Jim Ross's blog, and you can see Batista's tweet, and this and that, and the other thing,
right,
all in one place. And that's what I like. That's the only thing I like about these sites.
Right.
When they report erroneous bullshit, I just can't deal with it.
Right. Like, I missed the pay-per-view last night, but you know what? I got to go on to, you know, where did I go? I went to, PW Insider. I went on to this morning, and I got to watch the Shield versus the Uso match, which I wasn't going to get by ordering the replay of the pay-per-view like I'm going to tomorrow. And you nailed it right on the head. When it's stuff like that, that you don't have to, okay, well, I missed Jim Ross on Twitter, but you know what? There it is right there. That's fine. Don't sit there and tell me that you know for a fact that Batista, Bobby Lashley, and Matt Morgan are going to form a giant stable and they're going to be huge tonight on Raw. Then when it doesn't happen, oh, well, creative plans must have changed at the last minute.
Yes, exactly. I mean, they just reported yesterday that they were WrestleZone exclusive that Dave Batista is talking to Triple H about a return like Jericho or Van Damme or somebody like that with a couple dates here and there. And what does Batista do? Shoots it right down on Twitter.
Right.
You know, he says, you know, oh, it would be nice, but he hasn't talked to Hunter. He's tied down, yada, yada, yada. So,
yeah,
you know,
who's
word you take?
The Galaxy movie.
Right, whose word do you take? Do you take the word of Batista,
right,
who's the wrestler, or do you take the word of Nick Paglino, who doesn't know shit? That's basically my issue.
And
you
don't
know,
get me wrong. I understand the fact that, you know what, if something gets out there, sometimes you got to do damage control. Like, if you and I are talking about something and somehow it gets out, you know what, there's always going to be that, no, we're not talking. I mean, you see it all the time in sports when athletes are free agents or trades, no, we're not doing that. I get that aspect of it. There's a difference between that and then it happening right after that and then just pulling stuff out of thin air and pulling stuff out of your ass. And that's
exactly
the difference.
And they take this, you know, this Batista rumor, and they splash it right in their front page, like, boom, Batista's lost me, so it'll be returned. It's deceiving, and that's just the bottom line of it.
Mm-hmm.
So they find their ways to get clicks, and they find their ways to attract search engine optimization, and good for them. But like I said, I'm just getting the ball rolling. I'm going to try to get my brand out there a little more in different ways, doing a little more working with some other websites and trying, you know, I got some things cooking right now on the side that, you know, I'm not gonna talk about, but we'll see what I can muster up to get ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com out there more, to get PWP Radio out there more. And, John, this turned into kind of a little bit of a rant, but, we had a solid interview with Joey Ryan, and that's all that mattered. And I'm happy to say that, you know, hopefully we'll get some more good interviews in the future. And I'm going to try to contact some top wrestlers to see if we can make that happen. So thanks for joining me, John. And I guess I'll talk to you.
No problem. I'll talk to you.
On PWP Radio, brother. Joey Ryan, thanks, man. For Joey Ryan and John Dinoselli, this is Jersey Strong Jay signing off on PWP Radio. I believe it's, I'm not listening right now, but I believe it's episode 43, I think. So thanks so much for joining us. And, you know, we'll catch you on the other side. Keep it real, everybody, and peace.
Later.